The opening bell is sponsored by Associated Bank. In business, the bottom line is always top of mind. That's why Associated Bank provides treasury management solutions and tools to give you the financial information needed to effectively run your business. Visit associatedbank.com/thoughtleadership. Member FDIC.
We're on with Eric Lean, Director of Treasury Management Sales and Client Experience at Associated Bank. Eric, welcome back.
Thank you, Steve. Great to be here.
I'm going to focus our conversation today on inefficiencies in treasury operations, and you're the point person on this. I want to drill down on some of the inefficiencies that you see. I know you talk to companies a lot. What are the most common inefficiencies you see in companies' treasury operations?
That's a great question, Steve. I think the biggest thing we see and the most inefficient one is the number of handoffs that happen within an organization, whether that's between systems, between teams, and even the banks that our clients use. Cash positioning, forecasting, and payments often rely on a lot of manual data pulls from multiple portals, systems, or spreadsheets. And the individuals in the companies work with, they have a lot of steps that maybe don't look broken on the outside, but collectively, they can create delays, blind spots, and unnecessary risk. And treasury teams end up spending a lot of time reconciling data instead of analyzing it and making future decisions off of that data. Mm-hmm.
So how do you make a change there and make it better?
That's a great question. A lot of times it's working with clients to make sure they help automate a lot of those individual tasks that are out there today and some of the things that they're doing and modernizing their treasury operations. Banks offer a lot of different services and treasury solutions that can help push data to clients to make more informed decisions versus manually pulling things. But then it's also really working and sitting down with clients to understand how they're doing things today, mapping that out, and helping them identify where are some blind spots or some efficiencies based on the broader client set that we get to work with, mm-hmm. to give them some targeted recommendations on how to really reduce the number of handoffs that are out there in total.
Eric, what kind of cost are we talking about here? Is this something beyond just lost time?
Very much so, Steve. I think the real cost is decision risk, and that comes with a big cost. Manual processes increase the chance of errors, outdated information, and missed opportunities. And this leads to more excess borrowing for clients, idle cash that's not earning interest, and delayed investments or even additional fraud exposure to their organization. And over time, Treasury shifts from being a strategic partner to a reactive function, mm-hmm. which is far more expensive than people think from a cost standpoint, but it really comes down to giving companies the right information so they can make timely decisions that positively impact their business.
Yeah, is this what you call poor cash visibility?
Very much so, or invisibility to some cash. And poor visibility really forces conservative decisions. So when companies hold more cash than necessary, kind of maybe even just in case, or they don't know what to do with it, and they borrow when they don't truly need to. And that for them, that ties up capital that could be used elsewhere to either fund growth, mm-hmm. acquisitions, or operational investments. And when leaders of organizations don't trust the numbers, they slow down. And right now, as we know, speed matters in growth.
So talk to us a little bit about the early warning signs that you see that maybe a company has these treasury inefficiencies.
That's a great question, Stephen. I think we're in a fortunate spot because we get to work with so many different companies across so many different industries. But I think the biggest early warning sign that we see consistently is if a treasury group within a finance function is constantly reconciling yesterday's numbers instead of on advising about tomorrow's decisions. That's a big red flag. It's just because they're spending so much manual time pulling down that data and doing those handoffs, as I mentioned earlier in our conversation. Mm-hmm. Other signs include recurring forecast misses, surprise liquidity crunches, or even leadership questioning the reliability of cash data. And when confidence erodes, inefficiency is already impacting the business at that point.
Where do these organizations see the fastest payoff when you go in and fix some of these inefficiencies?
Playing off the last question, Steve, it really drives down to that cash visibility and forecasting to deliver the fastest return to organizations. Automating data feeds and consolidating views across accounts immediately improves decision-making and reduces borrowing costs for organizations, and they see this on their bottom line. Payment automation is another quick win because it really lowers risk, speeds execution, and frees up staff capacity to focus on a little more strategic items for their organizations overall.
And you, as one of the banking partners, Associated Bank, as one of the banking partners here, goes in and helps these companies discover some of this stuff. What does that process look like?
It's a great question, Steve. So one of our biggest opportunities and what we focus on is helping clients reduce risk, increase their internal efficiency, and optimizing their liquidity. And we focus on being a strong banking partner to our clients by giving them perspective. Perspective, as I mentioned before, across all the clients and industries that we cover. But we help them by looking across their different payment flows, account structures, and liquidity patterns to help them spot friction points that have normalized over time that maybe they just don't realize are some of those friction points today. And the value just isn't offering tools. It's asking the right questions, benchmarking performance against other companies that are of similar size in their industry, and helping treasury leaders connect operational details to their broader strategic outcomes as well.
Eric, I know that market volatility is impacting a lot of things these days, and we're all keeping an eye on rates as well. Talk to us a little bit about how both of those things play into this inefficiency that we're talking about.
It's a significant factor. And if you really step back and look at the past 12, 18 months, there's been a lot of volatility in a lot of different ranges, whether that's interest rates, whether that's tariffs, whether that's fraud. But that volatility really magnifies the inefficiencies that occur within an organization. So for example, when rates are moving quickly, the cost of delayed or inaccurate information is much higher to an organization. And companies that have real-time visibility can optimize that liquidity, timing, and yields, especially in those moments of volatility, because those moments of volatility also create opportunities. And those that feel that they're always reacting are always a step late. And that gap shows up directly in the interest expense that those companies pay, and then also their returns overall.
Mm-hmm. Talk to us about how artificial intelligence might be playing a role in some of this, fixing some of these problems, or at least making it easier. Are you seeing that rolled out? I know you were talking about automated stuff earlier. More of that is likely to help as well, right?
Tremendously. And if you look overall, there's a lot of solutions and services that banks offer that leverage artificial intelligence behind the scenes to help clients make better, faster decisions. But there's also things that companies can do within their organizations to leverage agentic AI to create bots, if you will, that can help actually pull down a lot of those manual handoffs that I mentioned earlier today. Those things exist, and they can be built within a lot of common AI tools that are readily available to organizations and individuals. And so what we do is encourage a lot of our clients to start playing around with this. Create some pain points or what are your top three potential use cases, and do case studies where to see, okay, if we built an internal AI solution for this, how could it, for example, automate a lot of the manual pull-downs we do from an information reporting standpoint? In addition to really looking at a lot of the services that banks like Associated Bank offer, that helped really drive decision-making because we've leveraged some of those artificial intelligence tools behind the scenes to enable that for clients as well, too.
Do you get any sense of why companies aren't moving to solve these problems quicker? Are we seeing, is it budgetary? Is it limited technology? Is it, fighting within the company structure? What are the challenges here?
That's a great question, Steve. I think there's a lot of different perspectives that come into that. One, AI is moving very, very fast. If you think 12, 18 months ago, ChatGPT was coming more in vogue for the general population, and people are using that to solve simple, simple questions, solve simple problems. But now it's really evolving about how can you make AI work for you and take a lot of that manual work out of the system. The other factor, too, that a lot of companies experience is if they haven't made the capital investments in different enterprise resource planning tools or workstations, they're operating off of legacy systems that can be, in some cases, really hard to build some of these workflows and AI bots into. And so it's really making sure that they have the right infrastructure internally to leverage a lot of this technology that's available today, but that will be coming in very fast, as a very fast follow in the months and years ahead.
Eric, I saw a statistic from a cash forecasting and visibility survey report that said 41% of companies increased the number of accounts that they had in the last year. 35% of them use six or more banks. Is that also causing a problem here?
Absolutely. One, I think we see clients using a lot more account numbers, one, just because they set up accounts as special purpose vehicles or for special needs. And there's different solutions out there that banks can offer clients where they don't have to open as many accounts, but give them and the company the GL reporting that they need based upon individual projects or business needs. But then two, the more banks that a company uses, one is required or necessary in some case, depending upon their bank relationship structure. But that also means if you have a lot of handoffs with one bank, how is that magnified across the multiple bank platforms that you use? And so the more a company can do to help really consolidate a lot of those things with multiple banks, the more it can help drive efficiency for what they do and the outcomes that they drive for their organizations.
And when we talk about the bottom line, I saw another statistic that talked about the average amount of cash that's tied up in working capital increasing by about $5.5 trillion during the pandemic. We've also seen that happen recently with tariffs and supply chain disruptions. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's cash that's sitting out there because there's inactivity or indecision in organizations, a lot of cases, and companies just don't know what to do with it. Or in some cases, we see a lot of times a company, for example, may think they need a $4 million working capital line of credit, and they go to their bank and ask for that. But what as a bank, one of the things that we can really do to help with clients is help them really optimize that existing working capital that they have and make that their existing money work for them even better. So in some of these cases, for example, could we go in and help a client optimize their working capital for, you know, to the tune of $1.5 million? Well, if that's the case, and they thought they needed a $4 million working capital line of credit, now that actually reduces to a $2.5 million working capital line of credit, and we've just saved them significant interest expense that they'd have to pay on that line, but then also really made that existing money that they had tied up work a lot better for them and in their favor as well, too.
You know, a lot of times these companies and organizations think, well, there's an issue here. I just need to hire more people to deal with it. Is that a solution here, bringing on more people to try to solve these problems?
If a company doesn't have efficient processes and systems and solutions, unfortunately, that probably is the reality. But it's also at the same point, Steve, that is the opportunity in front of all of us right now, is how do we leverage workflow data and systems to work for us with different tools like AI to increase automation? Because when you do those things, it allows a company to grow and scale without having to add additional resources, because those existing resources have more ability to impact the organization because they have less manual work on their plate overall.
You know, we've kind of touched on it a couple of times here, but the concern about fraud and scams and all of that is probably still front and center for a lot of these companies as well, isn't it?
It's probably the biggest single risk that's out there today, because when the company has a fraud event, it immediately impacts their bottom line.
All right, Eric, great conversation. How can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Steve, thank you for the opportunity, and I really appreciate the be here with WGN. If I can help in any way, or Associated Bank can help any of our clients or companies that are out there, I can be reached at eric.lien@associatedbank.com.
All right, Eric, thank you. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you, Steve.